You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying.
Brother, welcome back. Brother, I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. So great to have you with me on this Monday night. I wait all weekend for Monday, folks, so I can talk movies and TV and comedy and music and all the good stuff. We are broadcasting live statewide and parts beyond over the app and stream. So wherever you're joining me from tonight, welcome. Dave on the stream said Killdozer. That was early in the show and I missed it. That's a Butch Vig band or Butch Vig produced band. Do you remember what you're talking about?
I have no idea what we were talking about
then. It was a Halloween thing. That is the voice of Amanda Nimmer sitting in for the K-Man tonight, doing a bang-up job. Are you having fun?
Yeah, I'm having fun. You know, it's way better than Thursday when everything's not imploding all over the place.
Well, here's another reason it's better than Thursday, because my next guest is a very talented guy. He's a friend of mine. He is one of the stars of the new Chicago triumvirate, the One Chicago Family, more specifically Chicago PD. And he joins us over the stream, Mr. Joel Murray. Hey, Joel.
It's good to be here.
It's great to have
you. Love your segue music, man. You just, it's so cool.
We try to make it like a high school dance here when we come back from breaks. Yeah. And oftentimes people do slow dance throughout the studio.
Eight inches apart.
A little room for the guardian angel. That's good.
Right.
That's good.
I'm talking to a fellow Catholic boy. Of course, you know.
Mm-hmm. 14 years.
Hey, Joel, 14 years at Catholic school?
Well adjusted.
Yeah.
But I apparently still need two theologies and two philosophies to graduate from Loyola Chicago.
Oh, that's hilarious. Wait, from high school?
Other than that, I'm set with an English degree. No, university.
Oh, I thought you went to Marquette for some reason. Okay.
I just seemed like I was there.
you behave
I had
like...
I had a few Vulcan mind melts. Yeah, I was visiting a lot.
You act like a Marquette grad. That's got to be it. I don't know. I went to DePaul, and I was the same way, very, very close to graduating. But
you act like a DePaul attendee.
A blue demon. Hey, this is great. It's great to have you. I want to talk about your new character, Mark Devlin. But first, I have to ask you, Joel, do you have a favorite TV housewife?
That I've had in the past?
Well, not that you've had.
That I've performed with?
Oh, you could do that. That's a different angle. Or just one growing up that you'd watch on TV, like Mrs. C or Laura Petry, someone like that. It's National Housewives Day.
I was a big fan of Samantha and Bewitched.
Oh, nice.
There was a lot there to like. I mean, I thought I could utilize her so much better than Darren. I don't know what that guy was doing, either of them.
He really Petry blew it.
Pretty fine. Yeah.
Personally, that's a great one.
I've worked with my wife a couple times, but I don't know if I had any wives. I'm always the guy that lost his wife or divorced or something like
geez.
That.
That's terrible.
Strangely single guy, the 30-year-old virgin I was on one show.
I'm sorry for your fictitious losses, Joel. That's terrible.
Or wins. Depends on how you look at it.
Hey, so let's talk about that. I was saying earlier on the show, Chicago PD, you kind of have to pick your shows. There's so many Dick Wolf shows, and I watched SVU for a long time. I watched the original Law and Order, loved it. And some of the ones that aren't even on anymore, but like in terms of the Chicago, One Chicago group, I have stuck with Chicago PD for 14 seasons. I'm totally caught up. And when I saw you, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a really fun year for you because anyone they bring on, there you go. If you're watching on the stream, there's a Commander Mark.
That was Billy Gardell and early Mike and Molly. Boy, that guy's big.
Ooh. Amanda, come on.
There you go.
There you go. That's a great. Okay. I just have to ask you, this must be so much fun for you, basically a native Chicagoan, to shoot a show in your hometown. It's kind of
just putting on the stuff was a riot for me. And I have an old cop coat that I kind of cherish, but, nice. You know, they dress me up and like, yeah, we don't need you for about 15, 20. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to go withdraw some money. I'm going to go get a coffee. I'm going to go get a donut, but just like walking around the Daily Center one day we were shooting and I was just going in stores and just, you know, seeing if I could get a free donut or not, free coffee.
Or make a citizen's arrest or something. Yeah.
Time. Just make people paranoid, walk up behind guys that are obviously smoking weed. Like, hey, hey, still not legal. Anyway.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's fun. It was really fun. And, you know, you pictured Jason Begay there. I actually worked with him a million years ago on Dharma and Greg. And I pointed out to him, oh, no, no, we've worked together before. He goes, oh, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I go, yeah, you were one of Jen Elfman's friends of the week back in the day. Back then. Yeah, no, I don't remember a lot of that. So
it's a pretty good Begay. Anyway. That's very good Begay.
Well, you know, he's close to my brother Brian, too.
Oh, okay.
You know, the two of them in the room would be kind of a similar conversation. Two guys. Anyway, but yeah, it was really fun working on it. And I was told I had four of the first eight, and I went in and auditioned. I got a costume fitting, and the gal was outfitting me with boots and parkas and stuff. And I'm like, it's 91 degrees today in Chicagoland. And she's like, I do my job. And so I don't know. I fulfilled the first eight quota. So we have to see if there's more down the way or not. But according to me, I'm not dead. So I think, you know, until you kill me, you gotta keep shelling me.
My guest is Joel Murray, a very accomplished actor and director, and he is the newest cast member of Chicago PD. He plays Commander Mark Devlin. Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because last year I noticed Sean Hattasy. It seems like whoever they bring in locks horns. With Voight. And I assume that you guys are building to that. I don't know what you can divulge or in terms of spoilers, but how do you see that going?
I'm sure I'm not supposed to divulge anything, but still not dead. You know?
Okay.
You know, a lot of these shows where you get, we got a really good episode for you coming up, but you got to see John Wall first. And it's like, huh? And then all of a sudden, you don't get your script in the mail or, you know, delivered, and you have to go in, and the producer's like, it's been great, got a great episode, and you jump in an ice hole at the end of it and kill yourself. And that's how they got rid of me on Shameless, you know. So it's just one of those things, but they haven't given me that talk with Dick Wolf yet.
Oh,
so,
man.
I'm looking, I think I'm not dead, but
I hope
it's been fun. I've been working with Begay. I've been working with Amy Morton, who's like, you know, one of the queens of Chicago theater.
Yeah.
Had the cool husband. And, you know, they have a cottage up there, Big Sand Lake, Wisconsin, up there near north of Phelps, you know. So they're good people.
Wait, Amy Morton's family did?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
No, her husband's family, whose name is escaping me. He's a sound guy, a real cool sound guy. Did when I did plays at like Maine's and Organic and stuff. He was
always
a hip sound guy. And LaRoyce Hawkins, who's been on the whole time. He's a cool cat. I've met him around town over the years. And a friend, a publicist friend in common. Anyway.
Okay. Were you a fan of the show before you started working on it? Like, had you watched the show quite a bit?
No, I hated the show because there were never any Chicago actors on it. And
that's interesting.
And then I found out that, like, my brother Andy watched it all the time. I'm like, oh. And he goes, yeah, I get my fix of Chicago. It's great. And so I started watching it. And I'm like, oh, that guy over there, he's Chicago. I know him, Stoltz and Stolte and, you know, some people. But I saw – we were doing the Who's Live Anyway show I was doing. And we were up in Saskatchewan. Name dropper. And Dermot Mulroney texts me out of the blue going, hey, I'm in Saskatchewan too. You any chance to get a ticket for the show? And I'm like, pretty sure there's a lot of comps available tonight, Dermot. And, you know, so I set a couple tickets aside for him, and he came back afterwards, and we hung out. And when we got done with the evening, I said, hey, you know, by the way, I've never, ever gotten on any of those. I never an audition, anything for any of those Dick Wolf shows. And, you know, put in a word for me, will you? And he's, you know, the new fire chief on Chicago Fire. And he goes, oh, yeah, sure. So a week or two later, I'm in Chicago. I sang the stretch at Wrigley. And the next day somebody called and said, my agent called and said, yeah, they want to know if you'd be interested in doing this part on Chicago PD. And I'm like, yeah, you know, if I don't miss too many Whose Line shows and if it's good and blah, blah, blah. And so he called back a little while later, like, no, this is happening. They want you to do this thing. I'm like, oh, well, that Dermot Mulroney is powerful. And so I reached out to him and he's like, no, I had nothing to do with that, man. Thanks though. Yeah, no, it wasn't me.
Just being a swell guy or what?
No, he's been like touring with his band with his brother, and he have a band called One for the Ditch. And he's like, yeah, no, I didn't do anything. Sorry.
Well, that's surprising because most deals are cut in Saskatchewan when it comes to casting and all that stuff.
Got that right. Mm-hmm. All good.
Well, that's awesome, Joel. And let's talk about what else you got going on. This is kind of cool. I saw that you're going to play Pat Summerall in a movie called Madden.
Yeah. You would think that's a good part.
Oh, no. Do you fall out of the booth or something? What's going on?
Falling in an ice hole. It's funny. About a year and a half ago, this friend of mine said, you know, this guy wants to play golf with somebody cooler than me. I've been teaching him to play golf, and he thought you'd be fun to play golf with. And I'm like, but it's David O. Russell, the director.
Oh, wow.
And who's done all kinds of things, except golf. And so I was kind of teaching him to play golf, and he and this guy and my son Gus and I would play Penmar by the sea here, which is not by the sea, but it's, you know, 30 blocks from it. We play out here in California, and then we would, you know, have some drinks and food afterwards. But really interesting cat. And he started talking about this Madden movie, and there's a part in there for you. I'm sure there's some guy, you know, the NFL guy who's from Chicago or something like that. And then all of a sudden he started going, you know, look at this video of this, you know, watch this video and look at this thing. And hey, I'm going to send you a wig. Next thing you know, there's like a really cheap white wig in the mail. And read a couple lines with this wig on for me. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to send you a blue blazer now. And so he kept sending me stuff and I wasn't getting the part. And all of a sudden, my Summerall was believable enough for him. And they offered me, and this is from Amazon is making this movie, right?
Okay.
Huge movie.
Yeah.
And so they offered me the part, and it was going to be basically scale and a local hire. So you're going to fly yourself to Florida, or no, to Atlanta. You're going to put yourself up in Atlanta, and you're going to drive yourself to and from the set in the airport and everything every day. And you're going to make, you know, food money, basically. And so I told my agent after a couple of days, I was like, you know what? Tell them no. And my agent's like, it's Pat Summerall. And so they came back. Oh, no. We didn't mean that. Oh, yeah, no, you're not a local hire. You'll get paid triple scale. You'll get a limousine. You'll get the hotel and first class, this first class, that. I'm like, yeah, see, there you go.
Now we're talking. Yeah.
Yeah. But I still have no lines and I still have no script.
Oh, man.
So I went and I'm working, and he just wanted me to improvise everything. And,
let's pick up right there. We got to do a really quick break here. We're coming back with actor Joel.
I'm getting played off. Played
off. We're coming right back as Night Light with Pete Schwabba.
Honor just to be nominated.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. From the 608, Steady Eddie says, Pete, I second the vote for favorite TV housewife. I also chose Barbara Sandwich as opposed to Stanwyck from the television show The Big Belly. That is the shortest text Steady Eddie has ever sent us. Thank you, buddy. Great to hear from you, Steady Eddie. My guest is Joel Murray. You can see him as Commander Mark Devlin on Chicago PD this season, their 14th, which is an incredibly good run. Joel, we were talking about you playing the iconic Pat Summerall, a really cool role in the movie Madden. Nicolas Cage is John Madden. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... supposedly, he came in to read for Al Davis, which I could see.
Well, yeah, right? Totally.
And he said, "Oh no, I want to play Madden." And so he does a really good Madden. And next thing you know, you got Nick Cage's Madden.
And you do a really good Nick Cage, thereby meaning you would do a really good Madden. So come on, that's great.
There you go. But I got to work with some other people that were really fun. Rick Hoffman, who's kind of the Weasley guy on Suits, was playing Howard Cosell. And this kid from Canada, who's a rapper, white rapper, was playing a young Bob Costas. And it was really goofy. And we all at the same time got to see Nick Cage as Madden. And at the same time, right before we rolled, they put earwigs in our ears. So we're hearing the director, and the director is, David's telling everybody what to do, and he's telling Nick Cage what to do, and we're all just in this surreal world all of a sudden.
Wow. And
some people have lines that they audition with, and some people don't. I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but it was really, really different. And then when it got to be just this one-on-one stuff with Nick Cage, all I would be saying is like, all right, well, it's this date in Dallas. So that'd be, you know, County Stadium, whatever. So it would be Tony Dorsett. It would be, Too Tall Jones. It would be Billy Joe Dupree.
Yeah.
So not Staubach. It would Danny White. The right date. But, you know, so I did that kind of research while I'm waiting, trying to see if they're going to give me any lines. So I was riffing with Nick Cage, and so he's got stuff in his ear he's being told to say, and I'm just riffing off him and setting it up with, you know, a five yard out to Billy Joe Dupree. And it was really interesting. And then they, you know, we're in Turner Stadium in Atlanta. So you're going this way and you're at, the Raiders game. You're going this way, you're at the Lions game. You're going this way, you're in Cowboys Stadium. So that was really cool. And, you know, I had to say eventually, you know, I was friends with to Nick Cage. I was friends with your cousin Gio, and he was a friend of mine. I knew from Italy years ago, in like 1982, 83. And he all of a sudden kind of broke and just like, "Well, you knew Gio? I love Gio. Gio was the best, man. You were friends with Gio?" And so then, you know, he was much nicer to me. And
man.
You know, I live in Las Vegas. You should come there sometime. Well, a lot of people say, you know, weird things about it, but I like Las Vegas.
Oh, man, that is gold, dude.
It was pretty good. It was a surreal moment. But I did that, and then, you know, back on the bus and back doing the Who's Line and been doing the Chicago thing. I did another goofy football movie down in Tampa for a month called The Big Game, where I won't give anything away on that, but this was a small indie movie that I liked the darkness of the script. And I play one of these fanatical Florida fans, and you know, it's the big game against Florida State. And
oh, sweet.
It gets really weird and dark. So I got to do that. So I've gotten to take some breaks from the Who's Line, but I also got to breeze through Wisconsin at one point.
Yeah. You were on the show talking about that last time. Do you have it? We've got only about a minute left, unfortunately, Joel, but any more Who's Live coming up here?
No, we did the one at the Paps, and we were in La Crosse, which is a fun place to play. But we're not headed back there anytime soon, but I don't know the schedule. I'm just trying to get through the holidays, man. We got a wedding coming up you know, it's going to get crazy here.
Well, I was excited because I'm totally outnumbered here as a Bears and Cubs fan, and they don't hesitate to abuse me, and it's fun. I like being that guy, but next time you'll have to come on. I'll have to save some more time so we could talk about some of that stuff too, because it's good to have.
That was the other thing with the Chicago PD. I got to go to three Cub win playoff games. Three I went to, they won, and that Bears game Sunday was absolutely phenomenal.
It's the game of the year. It was incredible.
I almost broke the TV, and then the next thing you know, I'm just like, of course they win. Of course. But I mean, it was the best of times, the worst of times. It was absolutely insane.
It was great.
I've never seen a game like
that. It was great.
And that's how the World Series was too, by the way.
Oh, it was phenomenal. All right, we'll have to do this again soon. Phenomenal World Series. Maybe the best ever, a lot of people are saying, but we'll... Yeah, we'll have you back soon. I'd love to talk about all that stuff too. Joel Murray, check him out as Commander Mark Devlin on this season's Chicago PD.
Wednesday nights. After the other ones.
It's the best night to watch.
I think it's the 13th season, 14th for Fire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a great night to watch color television.
Anybody's wagering on the show tonight.
Thank you, sir. Have a great night, Joel. As always, my friend.
Great to see you, Pete.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Check out Chicago PD on your color television. We'll be back tomorrow night. Conrad will be back. Amanda, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
How are we doing on time?
We got about 30 seconds.
Okay, fantastic. My thanks to Joel Murray and Doug Perret. Thank you for all your texts and calls. Always more fun when you guys participate. We're coming back tomorrow night. On behalf of Amanda, I'm Pete Schwabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. We are plowing through a Wednesday night edition of the show. And joining me here right now is Jeremy Carrasco. He is a Green Bay native, or Green Bay resident, I should say. And his job is in AI. He's not in AI. He's a content creator, and he teaches people how to deal with AI. And I find it fascinating. Jeremy, so... what should people, in your opinion, I'm pretty much a layman. I know about Tilly Norwood. Do you know about Tilly Norwood, the AI actress?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Okay,
I do know
so
about her.
I have questions about that, but what should regular people who don't have to deal with AI on a regular basis right now, what should they look out for when it comes to AI? What amount of knowledge should regular people have about the subject, in your opinion?
I think really when it comes down to it, you know, If you don't feel like you've caught up, that's okay. Everyone always feels like they're behind. Everyone always feels like they're catching up. So that's the first thing I want to say is it's normal, and that's how I feel all the time. And I'm covering it every day, and it's just always moving so quickly. So what I would say is that, you know, having a little bit of knowledge about just like what's happening in the industry, just like larger trends is good. You know, a lot of the tech companies would like you to think that everything changes all the time, but there are some trends. So for example, you know, AI videos are popular enough to go relatively viral on social media now. So really the thing I would say is that thing that used to, you know, tick off in your brain of like, wow, that's really unbelievable. Now that might be because it's an AI video, whereas before it might've been something truly incredible. Or an example I'll give is, you know, sometimes there will be AI videos like this where it's like a baby who's about to stick a fork in an outlet or something. And there's someone filming this baby sticking a fork in the outlet. Then the puppy goes to save the baby, right? And the comments will just be people being like, why didn't you put the phone down to help the baby? But in my head, I'm just thinking, well, that must be an AI video,
right?
Because what human wouldn't go put down the phone to help the baby, you know? So it's retuning that part of your brain that, you know, a lot of the AI videos are really made for, you know, to go viral because they're just a little bit too crazy to be true or a little bit too good to be true. And then, you know, the other side of it is just, you know, being aware that there are AI. There's plenty of AI text out there. There's plenty of AI photos out there. It's just generally a little bit more skepticism is a healthy thing to have right now, but definitely I don't expect everyone to be as hawkish on it as me. I mean, that's my job, but you know, just getting by day to day is a little bit harder than it used to be. If you're trying to find any sort of like quote unquote truth on the internet, it's much harder to come by now.
Right. What is the motivation of people that make, let's say, AI real? Obviously, everybody wants clicks. Everybody wants to sell advertising. Is that what is motivating AI content creators? I mean, because oftentimes, and we can talk about how to spot, you know, if it's AI or not, because a lot of people don't seem to know. They repost stuff. And I'm like, I don't think you know what you're reposting.
Yeah.
But what should people look out for?
Well, you know, the first thing is that it is, just remember that like engagement is what most platforms are built on. So I can talk about that is, really since TikTok entered the picture, every platform is trying to copy TikTok's engagement model more or less, which is to say that, you know, following or subscribing to people is less common than it used to be. This is why you don't see your friends on your Facebook page as much as you once did, is because a lot of it is just based on what you're watching. And even if you don't hit the like button on a video, or Facebook still knows that you watched it and that you liked it, you know? So the thing that AI videos are really good at is taking advantage of the way that these platforms track engagement now. And so, you know, you can think back to when clickbait used to be a big problem. Some people might remember that of, you know, maybe on YouTube or Facebook, there would be a thumbnail that would be really intriguing and you click on it and the video would be totally different. Well, in a way, that's what AI videos and AI photos do to us, is they make you stop thinking like, what's going on here? And by the time you really figure it out, you've already registered your engagement on the platform, you know, because it doesn't go on likes anymore. So I hear a lot of people saying, well, I'm not liking them, so why am I seeing so much? And that's why.
So when you say clickbait, I thought that was still a thing. Like oftentimes I'll see a reel or something on Facebook and it looks intriguing.
Yeah.
Here's a perfect example. This Wisconsin town is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't tell you. They want you to click. I get that. Then they want you to click in the first comment and then they want you to scroll down. Is it all about keeping people there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's really maddening.
The other really maddening thing that people talk about, and you can actually do counting on this if you're interested. Next time you see one of those videos that is... they're obviously pushing off the payoff. So for example, it might be a rocket that needs to pick off, that is about to launch, right? They might put that rocket launch 10 seconds into the video to make you wait the 10 seconds because the 10 second view duration is what registers a view.
Yeah.
You know? So there are all these ways. And the thing about AI is even if you know what you're looking at, like I do, it still takes a few seconds for me to figure out if I'm watching an AI video or not, you know? So the AI videos are really engaging on our current social media, and that's why people are seeing them a lot.
So we clipped a little from one of your YouTube videos, about 50 seconds, and our stream is down. Con, can we play it in the stream?
No.
Okay.
But I have the audio.
The audio is still interesting. It's how to spot if something is AI.
Sure.
You'll recognize this, but let's play that.
I'm next to an AI person so we can compare and see what's wrong with him. Don't pay too much attention to me. The AI's skin is smooth, like it's wearing a ton of makeup. There are details resembling pores, but they don't stay in the same spot on his skin as his face moves. The skin looks like leather. The subtleties are gone and the texture is off. Now, let's look at the hair, which has some shape and strands, but it looks very thick, almost like it's animal fur. It's coarse and fuzzy looking. And the teeth are straighter than mine, which is not much of an accomplishment, but they change width and shapes as he talks, and the spacing between them shifts around. Okay, that's enough staring at me. Let's appreciate that for a second. I called that a superpower for a reason. Your subconscious can pick out all that detail that I had to zoom in on to demonstrate.
Let's talk about that.
That sounds like an old video, but I don't think it is. I think that is in a YouTube video. It's so funny because I released these videos 3 months ago and so much has already changed.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, all those tips are still decent, but
it changes that fast.
I mean, they're improving all the time. They're just improving all the time.
Well, it's new to us.
Yeah.
So I want to, my guest is Jeremy Carrasco. He is an AI, you call yourself an AI expert?
Creator.
You're much
AI educator.
Okay.
I don't try to go by expert.
We'll say expert. Compared to me, you're an expert. But it's great to have you here in the studio. And I want to ask you, what should, you know, you talk about in one of your videos, all the fingers, you can tell something kind of looks real and then two people hug and all of a sudden there's seven fingers. And what else can people look for other than what we just heard to tell us something's fake or AI?
The thing that I would say is if you're concerned, I would actually seek out AI videos and see what works for you and see what you pick up on, because everyone's different. You know, for some people, it is the audio and it is the lower quality audio, or the most recent trend is some of the newest AI models, the people talk really, really fast. And so it might be something, for example, where you're watching someone just like talking to another person on the camera, but they're talking almost like an influencer or an announcer. Okay. That's because the AI video, you know, models don't quite know like why we talk to people the way they do. So some people are really thrown off by the audio and how people talk. Other people will feel like an uncanny sense. Like I describe it as it feels like I'm looking at ghosts. It's like they're almost people, but like something's a little bit off. And this comes down to the fact that, you know, for the longest time, the only way we ever captured human-like or lifelike video was with a camera sensor or film or something that collected real light in a room and bounced into a sensor and was filmed somehow. And of course, there was animation. But, you know, besides that, this is the first time where a human-like presence can be kind of simulated in a way that's completely a different process. So it's just the reality is that process is different, and different people will be able to see that in their own way. So it's hard to give just like one easy tip. There aren't, you know, simple tips anymore. But the thing that I would say is the best way to figure it out is just try to step back and use some common sense. You know, these aren't, because they're not actually people filming cameras. You know, you might have instances where, you know, the camera position just doesn't make sense. It'd be like, who is filming this? Like, why are they filming this?
Yeah.
You know, and again, it does require a little bit of you stepping back and asking questions, which, I mean, frankly, a lot of people aren't doing while they're on social media. That's part of the problem.
I mean, you just kind of lose yourself in the phone and whatever it tells you. That's what you're, you know. You say that you teach people to cope with AI. You also, in one of the videos I saw, you have AI red flags. And they're in three categories: anatomy, technical, and situational. You kind of just described anatomy. We talked about the multiple fingers or shoulders meshing together or whatever it is. And you just kind of talked about technical a little bit. What's the situational aspect of that?
Yeah, the situational is the video's purpose and, you know, what it's there to make you feel, what it's there to get you to do. So a lot of videos are just there to get you to engage and to like or to share with friends or to leave an angry comment when the person doesn't put down the phone to help the AI baby. But a lot of them can be eventually to sell you something or can be a scam. And those are the ones to really look out for. And, you know, the wonderful thing about AI is it can make people do things that normal people would feel shame about. And an AI person can't feel shame, right? So it's used to, you know, simulate people that are just supposed to get an angry comment out of you. Maybe a person who is reacting, you know, in a very unusual way that might make you angry and you might comment. And that might be for a political gain. For example, you know, I've seen videos of fake Trump supporters wearing MAGA hats with no teeth complaining about, you know, their healthcare going away. And I've seen, you know, more left-leaning people, you know, complaining about things. You know, it's like playing off of stereotypes, right? And its entire goal is just to make you angry at that person.
Rile people up and divide them, exactly.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting. What is... Okay, so we were talking a little bit during the break. This Tilly Norwood, she is an influencer. Mm-hmm. She's an AI creation. They said she was going to have an agency in Hollywood represent her. It's so strange that we're talking about something that is AI. So what is it? I equated kind of to animation. They're not real people. Like, what are they? Where will they be categorized?
I mean, first of all, just to set the record straight, Tilly Norwood has not been in any movies or succeeded in any way. I think the true industry plant is Tilly Norwood. Like, we don't know if this is going to succeed. And, you know, in my opinion, it probably won't, because most people, when they watch a Hollywood movie, want to know about the actors and actresses. And there's, you know, there's a whole mystique around it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, having said that, you know, eventually, I don't know, probably AI actors might be a thing someday, but like, let's just pump the brakes on Tilly Norwood until it succeeds, because I don't think many people are going to go to the Tilly Norwood movie.
like it'll be like Pixar. Maybe. If you want to watch a movie with AI actor, I don't think there's really a demand for that unless they can do something that's crazy or.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. And there's, I've done a video or two about this. If you're an AI creator, let's say someone who's making AI, and you have a scene and you got three people in the scene, and on the left you want someone to say one thing, and on the right you want them to say another thing. The AI will frequently make the person in the middle say both of those things. Mm. It can't track who's right. supposed to say what. And it's worth mentioning that there are other types of AI models that are maybe a little bit, more tuned to what are called AI avatar models that are a little bit more lifelike human focused, whereas right. a lot of AI video models are, they can make a dog's video or cat videos or skateboard videos, so it just depends on what the situation is.
Fascinating stuff. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about some of the comments I read under AI stuff that crack
man.
Me up.
I'm ready.
Jeremy Carrasco is here. We're talking AI. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight. We're coming right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I'm Peach Wabbit. This is Nightlight. I love when people get romantic about the question of the night. John from Madison in the 608 says, "When I was a younger man, I could eat endless donuts. All the donuts. My brother was sure that I had a tapeworm because I ate too much of everything, but I never get fat. I could down 20 donuts, no problem." That is really impressive stuff, John. There's nothing a woman likes more than a guy who can plow the donuts. Great stuff, John. Oh, I got to read a text from John last night, Con. He sent this in right as we left. It was this beautiful text. John last night from the 608 said, "Great guest, great show. Peter, you keep me coming back every night. Thanks, brother, sincerely." And then he says, "You got skills, man." Thank you, John, for the nice compliments. I almost forgot to read those until I saw your text pop up tonight. John also says, "When I was in high school playing football, I would eat 5 pork chops and 3 Bakers." I don't even know what that is. "Now I can only afford to eat them one at a time. How times have changed." Oranged. I mean, changed. I think I know what he's going for there. Steve, Conrad's dad, says, "Back in the day, it was no problem to eat a baker's dozen, 13 of us." And you said one, Conrad.
Should I be ashamed?
I'm going to talk to Steve about this. He says, "Long John's cake donuts, Bavarian cream glazed. Nowadays, just a 6-pack. Raspberry filled donuts are my favorite. Seeing you have to make sure you eat plenty of fruits per day." I'm glad your dad is getting his nutritional intake.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, excellent. If it counts that much with.
It's what Homer says. He says purple. Purple is a fruit. And then we've got some text that from the stream. Dave says Greenbush is awesome, and Joe can't handle the attention. They were wondering where Joe was tonight. Right now, we've got a few more minutes with my current guest, and I think we need to talk about this more, Con, because I find this such an education. Like I told you, Jeremy, during the break, I love talking to people that know so much about something, especially something I don't know about. Yeah. I find that fascinating. Jeremy Carrasco is my guest. He is he coaches people and teaches them how to cope with AI. I think that's a great way to explain what you do. I love to read the comments, and I'll do it when I see like an airplane landing on a beach,
yeah,
and people go, "How do those people survive that?" I'm like, "Are you kidding?" Or you see this beautiful woman and I'll go, "That's gotta be AI." I'll click on it and it is, but some of the guys are, "That's a woman I could really settle down with." I'm like, "No, you can't."
Well, good catch on your part.
Well, yeah. I mean, some of it is obvious.
Yeah.
But so I'm probably maybe a little more savvy than the average guy, yeah, but they could fool me if they wanted to. What are the dangers? Like what can happen from a social media standpoint when it comes to AI? And then let's talk a little bit about the good it can do.
Oh, I don't want to freak people out too much, the concern that I have, because a lot of people are just like, oh, who cares, right?
Right.
Who cares if the cat video is AI or if it's real? Well, the problem, y'all, is that the cat videos, are just the start. It's just the slippery slope. I know there's a slippery slope fallacy. I don't want to get in too much into it. Anyway, I'll get to it. The problem here is that when you combine AI video with all the other capabilities of other types of AI, so for example, people use the word agentic AI, which is really just an AI that can behave on its own. It doesn't need human guidance. Well, if you match up an AI video with an AI agent that can act on itself, and you multiply that by, I don't know, a million or 500 million accounts, all of a sudden we could have a lot of fake people out there. And, you know, I talk a lot about what I think the lines that I want to draw, like what is acceptable or what is not. And I think that the major line I would draw is I'm really against fake AI people, because I think that, you know, as people, we should really protect our likenesses and make sure that we trust that we are talking to real people on the other end of it. Because if we don't, you know, society can really break down. If you don't believe that you are engaging with other people, how can you run a functioning democracy? Like, it can go really that far. I don't think we're there yet. I think that there's, you know, a lot of the story still to be written. So I don't talk about that too much because it can sound scary, but that's a big part of it. And then there's also just the risk of being scammed. I mean, you know, people can make AI videos of fake products and sell you a fake product. That's a good example.
Yeah. Great answer. So is this something that, I mean, as polarized as we are right now, and the answer might be no, because if people can find a way to use AI to their advantage, that's probably what they're going to do. But could you see political parties or somebody coming together and go, we have to regulate this somehow?
Yeah, I think that the governance of AI is a whole conversation. I'm starting to become affiliated with some groups that talk a little bit more about this. I'm curious about the governance side of it.
Yeah,
I think that as a public, as a community, we have a lot of opportunity to build public norms around it. And that's really what I'm focused on right now.
Well, good for you, man. Keep up the great work. This is just so fascinating to me. Let's just really freak people out here. Last question.
Okay, I'm ready.
Like in the Terminator.
Yeah.
You know, could AI take over the world? Doesn't somebody always have to be running AI? Or can AI get so smart it will boot humans out completely?
People are worried about that. There are entire nonprofits dedicated just to stopping that scenario. I think that AI would be more likely to take over when it like pleases you, more Matrix style, rather than trying to take over by force. Because really the power that it could have is, you know, just making us okay with kind of leaving the comforts of our world to a more comfortable AI future, right? But I don't think it's particularly likely for what it's worth.
Let's be honest. It's already taken over.
It's already starting.
Faces are on our phones all the time. Exactly. It's just not so overt, I suppose. Jeremy, this is fun. Thank you. We're going to have to do this again when you spend a little more time. I love what you do. Keep up the great work, and we'll do it again.
This was fun. Thank you.
All right. That's Green Bay resident and DePaul University grad, Jeremy Carrasco. I'd like to also thank Heather Arndt for being here tonight. Great time catching up with Heather and all of your texts and calls. Thank you, folks. It's been fun donut talk tonight. We're coming back tomorrow night with a new question and new guests. And on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin. Well, I know you try the best you can. Need to breathe in more of that second hand. Smoke flying, I was tired of fighting fate. Time to douse those flames. I learned that.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.